This is what 30-something years later will do. We were talking, we believe that was in 81. That was our first year. We were in a little duplex. And I'll talk about that in just a second. What does someone possess that will carry them through some very hard times and trials in their life? What does it take to say, I will go? And what does it take to say, I will stay? At age 18, I'm going to read a lot of this because I'm afraid I'll forget things that just came to my heart since he asked me about this. But at age 18, I surrendered my life to go to Africa alongside of my husband. I married a preacher, but I had no idea at the time God would call us into missions. One thing I prayed from the beginning of our relationship, which, like he said, we were very young, was to do God's will for our lives, no matter what, that we just wanted to do God's will. When I used to write him little love notes, I'd say, you know, just pray and we'll do God's will, whatever God has for us. But then there was God's call on our life. Well, for the Lord to ask us to leave the comforts of home and to go to a place that I had no idea what was going to be like was simply doing his will for me. And we knew that he would help us no matter what came along. And after deputation and language school in Quebec, Canada, and two kids later, we arrived in Africa. And when we first got to Ivory Coast, we stayed with some fellow missionaries for about 3 weeks while we were trying to find a place to live besides a mud hut. So I really didn't want to live in a mud hut. And our ninth day there, we all got sick, the whole family, even the family that we were staying with. And there, we didn't know at the time, but there was an outbreak of cholera. And that's what it turned out to be. And everyone except Julie got sick, and she was only about 3 or 4 at the time. And, yeah, she was... We had gone to the emergency room the night before we left to go to Africa because she had a high fever. And little did we know that she had an ear infection. She had to have antibiotics. And we went on the trip to go on to Africa. And that antibiotic probably kept her from dying because she was so small. She might not have been able to tolerate the cholera. But we see after that, we saw how God was protecting her, even in what we thought was, oh, man, we got to go to the emergency room. We got to go get antibiotics. We got to do it. You know, we're trying to get ready to leave. But the Lord was just taking care of another little matter that needed to be taken care of. And it was horrible. It was a hard time. The house that the missionaries lived in, they had 2 bathrooms. Thankfully, they had indoor plumbing. And with all 9 of us that was in the house at the time, deathly sick, running to the bathroom constantly, wow, that was no fun. But there was no doctors, nobody to run and go in the kitchen and cook us some soup or do something to help us feel better. One of our missionary friends sent an African to go find an African doctor at that time who turned out to be half blind, which we found out when he got close enough to give us a shot. So that was a scary time when we saw him coming with his eyes crossed at us. We're like, he's going to give us a shot. But we were willing to take the shot to get better. So, yeah, the needles. He wants to talk.
No,
he's down here. He's dying to talk. No. Yeah, the needles were not always the clean, throwaway needles.
Yeah, they were not disposable needles. They were the old 1950
kind
of needles. Yeah,
the metal kind that they supposedly cleaned, but we don't know for sure. But God's provision. God always provided for us and took care of our needs while we were there. We finally got well and later found a place to live. It was a small duplex, which we were standing in the yard in this picture of that little duplex. And it was a concrete block house with a tin roof. And we were happy with that. I had a toilet, had a little bitty kitchen with running water. I was real happy. So, and also happy to be out on our own and not be under the missionaries and bothering them. And but we didn't have a vehicle. A lot of inconveniences at that time. And we took public transportation, a bus or a taxi. And that was really hard because our children were small and Julie was still wanting to be carried around everywhere. So here we are, you know, having to go get groceries and things in the markets and carrying all that and getting on a bus and dragging your children and holding them and whatever. It was just a real hard time. But most of the time we couldn't afford to take taxis. We had to do the bus or whatever we could, walk mainly. But then later on, the Lord provided a motor scooter, and the four of us proudly mounted on to go to church. And you got a picture, a little two-seater motor scooter, which I wish I had a picture of, and the four of us on it. And we also had our little accordion put on there, which Jason sat on the front. So that's what we use for our church services. And that was our music. But our first term was a learning experience for this young girl, especially the food preparation. I only knew how to open cans, boil water, make sweet tea, because I was from Tennessee, and I had to go back in time. It was a really hard time for me, because I was used to having everything. I wasn't rich growing up, but I had everything I needed and above. And we had a washer and dryer, grocery stores with packages, packaged meats, everything ready to eat. But then when we got to Africa, it was a whole different ballgame. And just to even have hamburger meat, we had to buy big chunks of beef that was still had all the junk all over it. And you had to take it home and clean it up and get that stuff off and then let the blood drain. And then you had to grind meat and run it through a meat grinder. Well, I didn't even know what a meat grinder was. So that was new for me. I'd never heard, what's a meat grinder? But it wasn't many days after we got there that the everyday chores became a hard thing for me to endure. And I started crying. And I would cry on Dean's shoulder, and I would say, why don't I have peace about being here? What's wrong with me? I don't have peace in my heart, and I'm not happy, and you're so happy, and everything's going great, and what's wrong with me? And then finally, one day, I came to the end of my rope, and I told Dean one evening that I can't take it anymore. I can't take this burden of not having peace in my heart, not being happy about being here. And I needed something in my heart to help me carry on. And I told him that if it wasn't for him, I said, I wouldn't be here. You know, it's because of you that I'm here. I'm standing behind you, and I will stand behind you. But I needed something in my heart to help me to stand behind him. Well, God knows our hearts, and he knew that I'd surrendered to go to Africa. And that seemed to be an easy thing for me back when I was 18. But Dean told me that evening, he said, Karen, you got to surrender your will to stay. And so that became reality in my heart, and I knew I had to. And I got down on my knees that night, and I prayed and asked the Lord to help me and forgive me for my grumbling and not being happy over not having every little thing that I needed. And I gave it all to the Lord, and that time it was to stay. And then the sweet peace of God came over me. And from that day on, there was no looking back. It became home to me and my family. And we were happy ministering there to those people. And even the ones, to the sweet people and even those that weren't sweet. We still had the hardships of everyday life. You know, we still had to grind our meat. And I still had to wash clothes by hand every day. And hang them out to dry. And the humidity was so high, a lot of days they wouldn't even dry. They would sour before they would get dry. And but the whole difference came with me was the peace in my heart that the Lord had given me. Well, you know, I'd given it to the Lord, and we're here to stay. And, I can remember I had malaria more times than I can even count, and a lot of different sicknesses, hepatitis, food poisoning, a lot of different things that we got while we were in Africa. And many times we had to eat things that were unknown to us. But a lot of times it was better not to know. But it was mentioned earlier in the week that my dad passed away just shortly after our third time over to Africa. And these are times when I can remember the peace of God truly comes when you need it. And we had just arrived back in Ivory Coast, like Dean mentioned, I believe, Sunday. And we got the word that my dad had passed away. And there was no way financially that all of us could get on an airplane and turn around and go back. And so I flew back with another missionary wife just to be with my dad, with my family at my dad's funeral. And it was one of the hardest times that I can remember being in Africa, because my husband and my children were on the other side of the world and not with me. And that was a hard time to go through, but God truly gave peace in my heart. And God's word became precious to me once again. And how wonderful when he speaks to your heart and he whispers sweet peace like nothing else can. His word becomes near and dear to you. And I believe it was Charity Jertberg that mentioned that Sunday, how precious the word of God becomes to you, especially in hard times. And there was homeschooling the children as the years went by, and a lot of ministry obligations. It's like being a pastor's wife with the difference being that those ladies didn't know much about God or His Word at all. And I had to start from the beginning. I remember teaching them the books of the Bible by singing them with them every Thursday at our ladies' meeting. And to this day, when I'm looking for a book of the Bible, I start singing it in French in my mind. Because it was so, I mean, we did it so much, and they learned it, and I learned it very well. So, but there were times of loneliness, wanting some other American fellowship. The town we lived in, there weren't any other Americans. And it's hard to get close to someone that doesn't think the same as you. You know, you can't talk about your beautiful dishes because, you know, it was Corel that I brought from America. And they were fortunate just to have a metal pan, you know, or a few metal pans in their little kitchens where they cooked outside. So it's hard to get close to somebody like that and have the same fellowship when you don't have things in common. But and they raised their children so differently. I was homeschooling, and they were happy just to have the funds to send their child to a school to get a simple education. And they often sent their children to uncles or aunts' houses that lived in another town, and they let them raise their children. And they never felt bad for sending their children away for someone else to raise. That always struck me odd, you know, but it was a normal thing for them to do that. There was such cultural differences that you have to learn in a place like that. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that our family became so close during those years, and how I remember the sweet times of family devotions. No TV, we didn't have TV, no distractions, just family time together. And there's so many things like this that stay with you, that you don't forget. And our kids are grown and have children of their own, and they still talk about the good times in Africa. And I'm glad for the grace of God that's always been with us and will always be with us no matter what comes in our lives. What keeps us going when the hardships come in your life, sickness comes, and even when you're told you have cancer, what keeps you going? What makes you just keep on? It's Philippians 2, verse 13 says, "It is God that worketh in you, and to do of His good pleasure." And, you know, we have in verse 2 Corinthians 4, 1, it talks about we have this ministry, and we faint not. God has given us a ministry to fulfill while here on this earth, and I want to do my best to do it, to do what He wants us to do. I read something that I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Debbie Pride, but she's a woman that speaks in women counseling, women seminars, and some of us have been to hear her, some of the ladies that I know. And she wrote this week in her blog that her husband has a terminal illness, and he is in line for a lung transplant any day now. And she said she read in a tweet, and she put in there whatever a tweet is, where Tim Tebow wrote, "Happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. Whatever comes in our lives, whatever we're doing, just praise the Lord and thank God for every moment." And just pray for us as we try to help missionaries and encourage them along the way. That's what we do a lot now, is go into different countries and try to help our missionaries. And just encourage them the best we can, and just pray for us as we try to keep ministering for the Lord. Thank you.